Hi, welcome to the Inside Hour. This is Dr. Len Horowitz. I'm starting tonight with a little bit of a financial burden on the way in which our technical abilities to bring you the show has not happened this week, and I apologize to that. We had a little bit of problems with getting our studio together, and so I'm coming to you as best we possibly can. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness again tonight, and hopefully, God willing, next week we'll have our new studio together, and we'll be able to bring you the Inside Hour both on audio and video. It has been a very interesting week. I'm going to tonight open up the phone lines because I know a lot of people have been calling in advance of this program, and that this has been an extraordinary week in so far as the research that we've been doing. Much of the challenges that we've had in setting up a new studio here this past week has not just been financial, it has been also the issues of extraordinary revelations that have come to us in the past week that are very, very incredible. And I'm going to be sharing those tonight in the prayer that you will likewise share with your family, friends, and those other folks out there who are activists in looking at the vaccination intoxication issues and trying to do our best right now to protect people and wake people up to what's really coming down. I want to start tonight again by thanking not only BBSRadio.com for hosting the Inside Hour, also HealthyWorldDistributing.com, HealthyWorldStore.com, and I want to thank Tetrahedron.org, the publishing company that has been supporting us all these years with your financial support through Healthy World Store and Tetrahedron.org. We've been maintaining this program and also advancing a number of things on many fronts, one of which we'll be sharing with you tonight. Again, extraordinary revelation, so hold on. We've got a fabulous show for you tonight. I want to also thank all the people who are engaged right now, and there's a lot of them who are engaged in looking at the swine flu, H1N1 swine flu vaccine issues and being heroes about it. They're not willing to take this lying down, rolling up their sleeves, and just getting injected. And I think that these people, there's many of them. I will share some of those folks with you tonight, including Alex Jones, Charlie Sheehan, who's done a fabulous job in the last couple weeks putting out a wonderful plea to President Barack Obama concerning the 9/11 truth movement and the investigation that's ongoing there. It relates to the show tonight. It's not going to be off topic tonight after you get some of the information of how 9/11 actually fits in intimately with this issue of swine flu H1N1. And so that's very, very interesting. I want to thank Joyce Riley, who's been a support for me over all these years and doing the work that she's been doing. I want to thank Jeff Rentz. Jeff Rentz is out there really plugging away, as always, for telling people the way it is. And it's against all odds that Jeff has been consistently going. I know Jeff, like our organization, has sustained financial challenges, and yet he keeps going on. So he's a great model for all of us. So tonight's program, I'm going to ask for you to call in tonight. I'm going to give you the toll-free number to call. It's a international number, I understand, so you can call both from Canada and even overseas. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And tonight's program is about the drug cartel. It's about exposing the drug cartel industrials for creating, releasing, injecting, infecting, and depopulating planet Earth with pandemic H1N1 swine flu viruses and vaccines. What I'm about to share with you just literally went up about 15 minutes ago. It's on FluScam.com. On FluScam.com, which is the world's leading, most definitive source of information with regard to this genocidal intoxication called H1N1 vaccination, It is a website that I have labored with a lot of love and a lot of caring on for many months. And again, thanking people who have fed me so many wonderful articles and information to advance this very, very great contribution to truth. And so if you go to fluscam.com, there's a new page called Affidavit. It's my personal professional affidavit that is going to be advanced very, very soon to the FBI. It is going to be advanced to the FBI by a series of lawyers, including constitutional attorneys, whose names I will not mention yet because I do not have permission to mention them, and I may not receive permission to mention them. So right now, I want you to know that Dr. Len is going off on this issue completely by faith and trust and the angels of protection. So here's the press release that you will read on the website, fluscam.com, and the new page called Affidavit. World-leading drug industry investigators have uncovered stunning documents proving an international drug ring operating from New York City that is behind H1N1 swine flu fright and vaccination preparations. Yours truly and Sherry Kane, an investigative journalist, have released shocking proof in legal affidavits that leaders of a private global biotechnology trust are behind everything you ever heard about pandemic flu, including its origin and alleged prevention via vaccination. Our documents being sent currently through attorneys to the FBI. Evidence, powerful industrialists operating a crime ring within, quote, partnership for New York City, end quote. That these folks are behind the pandemic's creation, media persuasions, vaccination preparations, and health official promotions and proclamations seen everywhere from supermarkets to health clinics. This is a David Rockefeller Trust, ladies and gentlemen. David Rockefeller's Trust engages several powerful partners on Wall Street, including media moguls Rupert Murdoch, Morton Zuckerman, Thomas Glocer, and former chairman of the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Jerry Speier. These folks are implicated in advancing global genocide. This partnership, this trust, the Partnership for New York City, controls biotechnology research and development globally. Health commerce internationally is all controlled virtually entirely by this trust that exercises near complete control over mainstream media to promote and propagandize its products and services for the drug cartel's organized crime. This trust, in essence, makes or breaks medical and natural healing markets, primarily through the mass media companies and propaganda it wields for social engineering and market building. Among the most stunning revelations from our research this week are those linking Larry Silverstein of Silverstein Properties, Inc., and the 9/11 terrorist attacks to the drug cartel's geopolitical, economic, and population reduction activities. Mr. Silverstein, leaser of the World Trade Center, who authorized to have Building 7 pulled, meaning detonated, is a chief suspect in the 9/11 truth investigation, as Charlie Sheen and our good friend Alex Jones this week revealed. Silverstein is currently landlord and co-partner in the Biotechnology Trust founded by David Rockefeller and implicated by these new discoveries. Now, if these people can get away with killing more than 3,000 people in 8 seconds on 9/11, they are completely capable of murdering millions, even billions of people worldwide this flu season. So I pray These revelations will save millions of lives and help activists call upon President Barack Obama to demand legitimate inquiries into these genocidal atrocities. Given the unprecedented nature and urgency of these findings, I have posted this affidavit, a lengthy affidavit, for public review on FluScam.com this evening. I am praying for other activists to join me, to join our organization, to join the attorneys involved, and I suspect strongly because of the power and the legitimacy of the documentation of these revelations, that we will have a worldwide movement for reforming that which ails planet Earth. That we shall prompt governments worldwide to cease and desist vaccination preparations to avoid becoming accessories to the crime of genocide. So there's the press release. The affidavit that we posted on FluScam.com goes on for many pages, and it's all meticulously documented. There are PDF files that are freely downloadable. The entire thing is up there right now, FluScam.com, and you can read it. The toll-free number to call if you have a question or comment with regard to tonight's program, you can call 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So the affidavit is based on my personal knowledge. And except what otherwise stated, if I were called to do a testimony before the United States Bureau of Investigation, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I would do so confidently, and I could testify on these matters stated herein. I have to let you know that I am compelled by God and my responsibilities to the positions that I hold in order to make this happen and move forward in this. I want to share with you, and as I disclose freely and clearly, virtually for the first time publicly, that I am a Levitical priest by virtue of my bloodline, the spiritual direction that I've received, the ecclesiastical commitments that I've made, and my body corporate as the overseer for the royal bloodline of David, which is an omnidenominational. It covers everyone. An omnidenominational healing ministry established in the state of Washington and certified by the Secretary of State therein in the year 2000. I was pro se counsel in Horowitz versus the state of Hawaii Department of Health a few years ago, and that case is still ongoing through Gary Zamber's office, Attorney Zamber in Hawaii, with regard to this issue of forced vaccinations. And in this case, I had said, if you'd listened to this program for the years that I've been on it, that this is a model that the state of Hawaii is advancing for the rest of the country for mandating vaccinations and mandating tuberculosis skin tests despite your religious persuasion, in violation of the U.S. Constitution. I understand that there is substantial historical evidence proving unequivocally that the Rockefeller family's monopolistic influence over American medicine and public health that is material to this affidavit and the related complaints that shall be filed soon, that David Rockefeller's powerful influence over the Council on Foreign Relations, geopolitics, and global economics are all solidly established. I have reviewed the records and files cited in the affidavit, and I attest to the following facts that evidence fraud, official malfeasance, organized crime, and the administration of genocide in the form of what is called iatrogenocide, physician-induced intoxication of the population for death and profitability. It's operating under the skies also of public health within a trust organization established by David Rockefeller called Partnerships for New York City, involving the U.S. federal government officials that are cited in the affidavit and New York State government officials also that will be further investigated and disclosed. This pertains to the 9/11 attack, and it pertains to the 2009 H1N1 swine flu outbreak and the pandemic, as well as the advancing vaccination campaign. Obviously, I conclude that this subject is a matter of extreme urgency, threatening national security, thus demanding the immediate scrutiny of lawmakers and Justice Department officials, as well as the public at large. It is a well-established fact that outbreaks, now get this, it is a well-established fact that outbreaks have been caused by laboratory accidents. For instance, the 1977 influenza A outbreak of human swine flu H1N1 that went extinct for 20 years. It disappeared between 1957 and 1977, but suddenly reemerged immediately following the suspicious unexplained 1976 military outbreak at Fort Dix, New Jersey. This strain that was most likely a covert military experiment gone awry, or maybe it went correct, was nearly identical to what had gone extinct earlier. The subsequent swine flu deadly vaccination program that followed the Fort Dix outbreak and the media-driven fright that had been attributed to a laboratory source, according to Dr. Zimmer and Burke in the July 16th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Let me say that again so you get it. Esteemed doctors have published recently in the New England Journal of Medicine that the Fort Dix outbreak came from a lab, much like today's H1N1 swine flu vaccine. Issues and virus came from a lab. The November 1977 sudden reemergence of the influenza A H1N1 strain in the former Soviet Union is best explained by National Cancer Institute documents that we have published and placed on the website in the fluscam.com affidavit section and in the affidavit for federal officials, federal investigators, and attorneys. The April 2009 outbreak of H1N1 swine flu is much like the 1976 Fort Dix and 1977 general outbreaks, highly suspicious, according to genetic analysts and leading virologists. I've talked about that on earlier Inside Hour programs. The rapid mutation rates of these novel agents circulating and feared is strongly suggestive, if not definitively proving, that this was a laboratory release. To make it more difficult for the public to comprehend what is ongoing in flu labs today, I have posted an exhibit from the World Health Organization showing that the terminology describing viruses, even the word virus itself, is no longer being used. They're using new words to replace the word virus. The new words include, quote, reference materials, biosimilars, data packages, and mock-up files. Each of these terms designate viruses or virus materials, including gene sequences that cause disease and immune system reactions. So when you read the government reports and when you read the scientific articles, unless you are aware that these terms mean viruses, you are lost. The World Health Organization officials in charge on earlier programs and on YouTube right now in the special report that I posted in April, the Mexican swine flu special report on YouTube, goes into explaining who Dr. James Robertson and Dr. James John Wood are from the National Institute of Biological Standards in the UK. And I leave you with several YouTube investigation reports wherein I conclude we have a Anglo-American vaccine pipeline that has issued these viruses that we're looking at today, mutating, hybridizing, and spreading in the terms of pandemic flu. The European Medicines Agency, the EMEA, is a decentralized body of European Union with headquarters in London. So we're really looking at an organization that works with Robertson Wood, the World Health Organization in London. And when you read the affidavit and the links between the Murdoch family, that's Rupert Murdoch, folks, his mother, who she is, his sister, what she's doing, and you realize where Murdoch has spent some of his money, including right at this very moment, injecting babies and children with H1N1 experimental flu vaccines, you will realize that the links to the royal family of England and this global oligarchy are very, very real and substantive to the charge of global genocide. It is certain that the outbreak that occurred in April 2009 in Mexico, in two unrelated children living 100 miles apart in Southern California initially, and soon thereafter in Mexico among people who had not been exposed to these two children, that foul play is the most reasonable explanation, since this unique virus held genes from avian, swine, and Spanish flu that had literally been dug up from bodies, corpses, exhumed to do genetic analysis and viral identification and culture to restore and recreate the Spanish flu. So it's very clear that this is unprecedented and that it's not natural selection, as health science addresses in Evolution of the Species. Now, we're still reasonable people. We have a fair amount of intelligence left in many of us. We're not doing drugs. We're not doing psychotropic drugs that are whacking our memories and fogging our ability to reason. Occam's razor analysis holds that, quote, of several acceptable explanations for a mysterious phenomenon, the simplest is preferable, provided that it doesn't contradict the observed facts. Accountable U.S. federal officials overseeing America's biopreparedness response against this mutant H1N1 flu and vaccines and predicted quarantines. They offer, by the way, no definitive explanation for the initial outbreak of this laboratory-sourced recombinant, nor does the mainstream media. So-called experts accept and regurgitate the lame explanation of somehow and somewhere bird, pig, and 1918 Spanish flu viruses mated, curiously, synchronously, with the first availability of biotechnology to produce vaccinations alleged to be safe and effective against this precise new H1N1 and H5N1 genetic recombinant. Alternatively, the following substantive and substantial evidence indicate David Rockefeller and colleagues in this partnership for the City of New York, including celebrated federal agents and agencies and vaccine makers that control the mainstream media and the practice of medicine in an organized criminal conspiracy to profit by generating and promoting this pandemic. This is evidence because days before the media's first reported swine flu cases in 2009, Novavax Corporation, which, new evidence, partners with General Electric Company that owns NewCo, with media mogul Rupert Murdoch, issued the press releases generating the widespread publicity and fright. Thus, America's most powerful news media consortium and cable television conglomerate publicized Novavax's vaccine research in collaboration with Centers for Disease Control officials, alleging their vaccine protected against this unprecedented recombinant of flu strains. According to Dr. Robertson's testimony, Novavax received its biosimilars through the CDC. They have an influenza branch director there, Ruben O'Donis, and Dr. Rick Bright. Dr. Bright previously worked with Dr. Donis at the CDC, and in April 2009, when this new plague broke in Mexico, Dr. Bright was Novavax's vice president of global influenza programs. So, a lot of the information that I shared in previous Inside Hour broadcasts and in the YouTube broadcast currently playing will bring you up to date on Novavax and its collaborators and its links to the royalty of Europe. But you see, it was Reuters News Service that first alerted the world that it was a recombinant of avian Spanish and regular flu strains, as well as swine. So we've got to look at Reuters. Who owns Reuters? A Google search proves Thomas H. Glocer is the chief executive officer of Thomson Reuters Corporation and director of the TRC that partners in the David Rockefeller's Biotechnology Trust called Partnership for New York City. Thomas H. Glocer is also Merck Pharmaceutical Company's director since 2007, according to the Merck Company website. Two additional partners in New York, in this partnership for the city of New York, is in fact New York State government and the U.S. federal government. Likewise, of course, advancing research in partnership with these private companies in this partnership for the New York City. Both governments then purchase vaccines from other partners. This now deals with RICO issues, organized crime. It deals with payoffs, and this organization is a trust that is operating. The PNYC, Partnerships for New York City, according to their website, was initially formed out of the merger of two organizations. And you'll read on the affidavit and on the website, fluscam.com, that this chamber, initially New York Chamber of Commerce, was one of the organizations that initiated this organization, this new trust through Rockefeller's direction, has sufficient loyalty to the British Crown to have received a royal charter in 1770 from King George III. And after the Revolutionary War, the New York State's legislature confirmed their original charter. So it's never been anything but supportive to and sufficiently loyal to the British Crown. So you'll see that and you'll read that this organization, as it states right on their website, the original chamber had taken a broad look at what it considered to be business interests. It was primarily a business advocacy group under Rockefeller's vision. Then it was turned into a partnership, which would allow business leaders to work more directly with government and other civic groups to address broader social and economic problems. So that's very important information, as is the information on Rupert Murdoch, who is co-chairman with the honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, of the partnership. Murdoch's mother, I mentioned earlier, Elizabeth Murdoch, is the Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire, established by King George V, a companion of the Order of Australia, which is where the Murdochs come from. Elizabeth Murdoch administers currently there the Royal Women's Hospital in Victoria, Australia, which is a vaccine research center and heavy promoter of the swine flu vaccines and drugs for incredibly pregnant women. You've heard me say on this program that I can't even believe, as a healthcare professional, as somebody who has gone through pathology and cancer residence programs and seen how we treat in clinic pregnant women with all care. We don't do any elective procedures to pregnant women for fear that we might harm them or their developing fetuses. And the reality that we would now be injecting pregnant women with foreign RNA and foreign DNA and mercury and aluminum and squalene and adjuvants, MF59 and interleukin-2 and all the other ingredients, toxic as they are, in these vaccines, that we would be injecting pregnant women as the first most important people to receive this vaccine before, besides first responders, absolutely is the most atrocious and insane thing that I've ever heard in my entire life as a healthcare professional. Now, Jerry Speier, owner of Rockefeller Center, happens to be chairman emeritus of the partners for the city of New York and on their board of directors. He is chairman also of and chief executive officer of Tishman Speyer. He's former chairman of the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And he's chairman emeritus of Columbia University. He is a member of David Rockefeller's directed Council on Foreign Relations. Nelson Rockefeller's protege, Dr. Henry Kissinger, I won't go into here. I won't go into because many of the works that I've done in the past, many programs I've discussed, Kissinger's allegiance to the Rockefellers, all the roles that he's played in evolving nuclear weapons and biological weapons on this planet, and I've told you many times that his Kissinger Associates, a management firm, is one of Merck and Company, Inc.'s most productive of all management organizations, heavily influencing Merck and Merck management. So I won't go into that here, but I want to share with you this additional link between this Anglo-American conspiracy to commit iatrogenocide using vaccines. A CSL, that's a company, CSL Biotherapies, they are in Australia. They are the chief manufacturing, vaccine manufacturing company in Australia, and that the documents that we share with you are very relevant to the links, again, between the royalty of Europe, Australia, through Rupert Murdoch, through the mainstream media, to public practice here in America. The CDC, Centers for Disease Control, shared this bit of information. The first step in making influenza vaccine is preparing a seed virus that apparently sources from the UK, from Drs. Robertson and Wood. And I shared Dr. Donis and Dr. Rick Bright at Novavax. Likewise, CSL receives their viruses, their selected viruses, from the World Health Organization Centers for Disease Control by way of this virus distribution operation that Dr. Robertson is in charge of. The associate director and clinical development manager for vaccines at the CSL company in Australia is Dr. Michael Greenberg. Dr. Greenberg is a GlaxoSmithKline employee since 2005. Additionally, it is GlaxoSmithKline that is advancing some of the premier or some of the most advanced stockpiled H1N1 swine flu vaccines. So again, you can begin to see the revolving doors between Rupert Murdoch's media organization, vaccine testing organization, and ultimately the big boys in Europe operating through the CDC. The MCRI, this is the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, is the largest child health research and vaccine testing institute in Australia. It researches childhood diseases and vaccine-induced autoimmune diseases, but they never tell you that these are vaccine-induced autoimmune diseases that are formed from vaccine side effects, from the antigenic complex formations and the genitoprotein recombinations and blood intoxications that occur when you inject infants and children with these vaccines. And for those of you who have heard me before, antigenic complexes really are what killed my mother. My mother died, many of you know, from the swine flu vaccine back in 1976. She developed Guillain-Barré, a progressive autoimmune disease that was prompted by the antigenic complexes that formed when she received that vaccine, like so many others, developed Guillain-Barré and subsequently died. So what we're about to witness is horrific beyond words, because in America, that swine flu vaccine was limited to about 1 million people. Here we're talking about hundreds of millions of people with actually a vaccine that's far more deadly, far more likely to cause autoimmune complex formations and neurological impairments. In fact, both the government of the United States, Centers for Disease Control officials, as well as those in the UK, have alerted their neurologists and their physicians to beware that after the vaccination is administered, that people all over will be suffering from Guillain-Barré and neurological impairments. This historic testimony that you're hearing tonight, evidencing fraud and ongoing genocide within the medical and public health sectors of the World Health Organization, directed U.S. and U.K. and Australian governments, is literally best reconciled by reading an article, one very brilliant article, by a colleague of mine named Stephen Kunitz from the University of Rochester. Back in 2000, in the report in the Journal of the American Public Health Association, Dr. Kunitz advanced the full conclusion that wherever Anglo-American multinational corporations travel, so goes genocidal depopulation of native people. Now, what's interesting and shocking that brings the 9/11 issue into context in tonight's discussion is this White House environmental advisor for Barack Obama, Van Jones, who resigned for signing a petition in 2004 asking for an investigation of high-level Bush administration officials implicated by foreknowledge in the September 11th, 2001 World Trade Center, quote, terrorist, end quote, attacks that immediately killed more than 3,000 people and many more, subsequently from respiratory-related ailments. This infamous New York site is now home to this trust, this central biotechnology drug cartel directing PNYC. That is the world's most powerful biotechnology trust, established by David Rockefeller in 1979 with co-partner and co-chairman Rupert Murdoch. It must be known, and you are to help spread the understanding, that New York's United Nations building was constructed by Rockefeller money, the United Nations, who was also established by Rockefeller Family Foundation in 1948, the year after the same Rockefeller cohort established the Central Intelligence Agency that both their own documents that we've published on this new website, swineflu.com, affidavit section, according to CIA documents, and according to the Washington Post, the CIA oversees all infectious disease organizations in America, considering infectious diseases as national security risks. And 2 years after the Rockefeller family created the CIA, that 2 years later, the Rockefeller Foundation established the U.S. government's National Science Foundation, the National Institute of Health, and a bit earlier, the nation's public health service, the PHS. And know if you have been listening to me over these years, and if you have been listening to other folks like Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and Jeff Rentz at all, you've heard numerous times that the Rockefeller family received its money, mostly cash infusion, by the Rothschild family, the banking family for the European aristocracy and royalty. and that if you study Dr. Kunitz's work, you'll come up to the conclusion that population reduction by vaccination for eugenics and genocide has earlier examples. In fact, Rockefeller Foundation and U.S. Atomic Energy Commission had one of these experiences with James V. Neal, who was a geneticist. He had a vaccine called the measles Edmondson B vaccine. It was administered to the Yanomami native people, and that these folks died hideously. And it came out in a number of different journals and protests internationally. Most recently, this Venezuelan genocide is hideous as a reflection of what the Rockefeller family is capable of doing. The eugenics movement, you should know, began at Rockefeller and Carnegie-funded Cold Spring Harbor Labs in New York. Eugenics investors there included the most wealthy families in America and Europe. And I.G. Farben, we've talked about that on this program, and even Tuskegee experiments came out of the U.S. Public Health Service serving these eugenicist interests, that is, Rockefeller interests. So tonight, when you go on to fluscam.com to read the rest of this affidavit, and there is so much more. I haven't even gone through about a third of the affidavit, and you can get a little bit of an understanding here. I would highly recommend that you focus also your attention on the Silverstein connection with Silverstein Properties and their management company that manages the current World Trade Center. This was Silverstein who, for $3.2 billion about 7 weeks before 9/11, leased the Trade Center and subsequently now has cashed in to a great extent, of course, not revealing the full extent to which he has cashed in from the insurance companies. And by the way, it was General Electric that was one of the major insurers, GE Capital. So that's interesting that you've got the connection between Novavax, the vaccine manufacturers, GE, that's, according to lots of reputable sources, is created by the royalty of Europe, the royal family of England particularly. And then the top five floors of the new construction is the Chinese Center, administered by the Van Tone Group. And please read the inferences that Mr. Silverstein makes to this group and to very, very powerful, wealthy American industrialists, including Jerry Speier, Mortimer Zuckerman, Sam Zell. They've all expressed interest in partnering with Mr. Feng Luin, and that when you begin to study who these people are and what their relationships are to David Rockefeller, you will begin to realize how it is that the entire media is being completely controlled and controlling the American public's mind. The behavioral engineering and the assets that have been put into place to conduct this global genocide are unbelievable and yet meticulously documented and confirmed. Again, we're left with considering the most reasonable explanation for what's happening now. And no doubt this intelligence and evidence speaks to the most reasonable explanation of where this flu came from and what we're about to witness if we don't wake up. I go into also in the affidavit the special virus cancer program, the SVCP, that was fraudulently and speciously investigated by the U.S. General Accounting Office in 2002. And what's very fascinating is at the time that I was writing this a couple of days ago, I thought about the Honorable Ohio Congressman James A. Traficant, who has decreed persecution at the hands of the global industrialists and spent the last, I think it was 7 years, in prison. They trumped up charges against him, and they then basically persecuted him, and he was just released. As I was writing this, apparently just about within hours of me writing this and considering him, I just learned that he was released from prison. And so we did put through a call to him and have spoken with his family, and we expect likewise to further this collaboration to bring truth and justice, which was what Traficant was persecuted for, because that USGAO investigation was urged and required by Traficant's memos and by his requirement as a congressman. The GAO was required to respond, and they did so, but they totally fudged the entire investigation, and I was one of the interviewees, and I can tell you personally, they completely neglected everything that I told them. The connections to Litton Bionetics, to the National Cancer Institute, and then to Dr. Anthony Fauci are extremely relevant. You have to understand that the number one man in the United States federal government who's been propagandizing how we all need to get vaccinated with H1N1 swine flu is Dr. Anthony Fauci from the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. You have to understand that Dr. Fauci is a whore or a prostitute for these drug industrialists, and he's actually under the thumb of the CIA, so he better keep going. Otherwise, he might get knocked off like all those other biological experts and scientists and virologists and geneticists that likewise bought it. So that's what Dr. Fauci is up to these past years. He's the number one AIDS expert. He's the number one AIDS czar in the United States of America. And now he's pushing the flu vaccines because, you see, folks, what we're exposing now is that Dr. Fauci has a profit incentive. He is the co-patent holder on the adjuvant ingredient called interleukin-2, IL-2, which is a natural protein that is extracted from lymphocytes that is engaged in the cytokine process and the immune system's response to infections. Except when you take it and man-make it and then add it to vaccines and you inject it into people or you give it to them, such as with AIDS patients given in trials, it doesn't really do anything but make them sick. So we're exposing Dr. Fauci's connections to the adjuvant manufacturers, Chiron and SmithKline, and the people that are putting Dr. Fauci's interleukin-2 ingredient into the adjuvants that, along with squalene, are certain to prompt hideous intoxication and reactions in autoimmune diseases and more cancers in the populations, is exposed on FluScam.com this evening for the first time. So now you can begin to see what I've been up to this week, why it's been a very, very challenging week in terms of the research. And again, I've only scratched the surface. You've got to read it for yourself, and I urge you, when you do, after you're done, don't just sit back and get depressed. We have a world to save. We literally have a planet to save, because one of the issues that I bring up is if this continues as it's going with the genetic risks and the mutation risks, we may not have not just the human species any longer on this planet, but virtually every other species is at risk. The environment, the intoxication, the pollution of the water through all of this manipulation in chemistry and genetics is beyond reasonable. It's actually grossly criminal. And so this is additional information. I go into everything from how these people are controlling the drug industry and the medical industry to the natural alternatives, the vitamins, the minerals, vitamin C, vitamin D, the natural silver hydrosol, such as OxySilver, which you know I wholeheartedly recommend, along with vitamin C megadoses and D for preventing the flu on FluScam.com. Again, I'll draw your attention everything you need to know to not worry about the flu is on the flu to-dos page of fluscam.com. And so check that out, and then please send this out, this information out. Take a copy or cut and paste it and send it in an email to your friends and relatives worldwide as soon as possible. I think that you will be very pleased at what the creators put on my heart to do this evening and in the last week in compiling this material with investigative journalist Sherry Kane, who was extremely helpful in compiling this data. And so I understand Sherry's working on additional articles right now that will bring further insights to this. And then finally, the last portion of this section is the relevant federal laws that are being broken. And this now engages constitutional attorneys. It engages attorneys that have the capacity to litigate in federal court. But I don't believe I, as a person, as a Levitical priest, and as somebody who is simply an expert in this field of inquiry, has the capacity to file in a civil court. And if you look carefully at my affidavit, which sets the stage for a civil complaint, I have drawn the correct conclusion to not name any federal officials, because then it puts the case into the federal jurisdiction, federal court, wherein I feel inadequate and incapable of litigating pro se. So there you have it. It's been an interesting Inside Hour. We're on BBS Radio every Tuesday night. I'm sorry that we didn't get to your calls tonight. Apparently, you probably, like most people, just sat back and said, wow, I can't believe he's doing this. And that's the way it's been tonight. Next week, we'll get out the toll-free number again. You can call in, be a guest. I hope to have other guests on the program, including Sherry Kane. That would be great if she could join us. She was not able to tonight. And then stay tuned for Don Nikoloff coming up on BBS. Don is a great brother, engaged heroically in this understanding of and relevant dissemination of information to set us free. Love you. Stay tuned for Don on BBSRadio.com.